COVID has affected us in many ways. And here today is my guest, Afrin Begum, speaking about her sister Adiba's experience. Hello, Afrin. Are you with us?
Hi, Nadia.
How are you today?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. So why don't we start off? Tell me a little bit about Adiba.
So Adiba actually just turned 10 a couple of days ago. She is this beautiful, loving, always happy, smiling little girl. She's born in Prince George, just like me and her other sister. And, you know, she's so adorable. Like, when you see her, the first thing that stands out about her is her smile. Like, she has beautiful teeth. They're so big. And I guess, of course, what our topic is going to be about. Is that Adiba actually also has autism, and she was diagnosed with that when she was, I believe, turning 2. And ever since then, you know, me and my family have always tried to do what's best for her, always try to accommodate, make sure she's getting the help that she needs, because we really love her. So, and we want to see her improve and have an easier life.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, when COVID kind of impacted the world back in March of last year, and everybody, you know, was in immediate lockdown, and, you know, the future seemed so unpredictable, and services for people of, you know, all different kinds of, you know, with diseases or anything, who needed like healthcare services, was just kind of like up in the air, and we didn't really, you know what was going to happen. So let's start off, you know, how did the COVID stay at home orders, you know, not being able to leave and go out, how did that affect Adiba?
So, you know, with autism, there's a spectrum, and everyone has different autism. I would say that Adiba is definitely on the higher side, so her autism is a little bit more severe, and she is nonverbal. So with that being said, it definitely was not easy for her, and it was a big surprise at first, you know, because we didn't even know how she was going to react, and we didn't even know how ourselves were going to react. And so it was definitely hard. One of the biggest things that came with that is that she was not able to go out, you know, and to interact, but definitely was not able to go outside, go to school, and burn off all that energy. You know, she was very jittery when she was just always home and stuff, and she was a 24-hour type of watch thing, you know, like we always had to watch her, make sure she was okay, and then when she was home, she was, I guess, bored. She was using her phone more. She wasn't moving around, so she had all of this energy just, like, stored up and not being used. And so I think her anxiety definitely went up. She loves being outside, and she really loves school. So that being taken away from her was confusing, because she doesn't understand, like, what COVID was. And she wouldn't understand, like, Adiba, you can't go to school because there's a pandemic. Like, she doesn't get that. So to her, it was like a big shock, and you couldn't even explain it to her.
Mm-hmm. So she, you know, obviously she was aware that things had changed, though, and she sensed that, you know, she wasn't allowed to do the things that she had been, you know, used to doing before?
Yeah, I think she realized that, obviously, like, mm-hmm. That things were changing, and she didn't even know how to, and, like, she wasn't able to communicate back, like, hey, why is this happening? Or, like, hey, I want this to happen, because, like I said, she's nonverbal, so the communication there is a little bit, you know, it's not, you can't really sense it properly. It's really hard. And with school, actually, she definitely was, you know, she's learning to be more verbal. She's learning to communicate and show things that she wants. But if you take away that, like, not challenge, but that environment that makes her have to communicate more, then when she's at home, she loses that ability. You know, she's not communicating anymore at home. She's back in her own world, and she's like, ignores everyone. And therefore, you know, you can't really get what she wants.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, her daily patterns were disrupted, you know, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a big thing. Because, you know, go to school and then come home. And then her therapy, you know, she didn't get to go to therapy for a while, too, because that was taken away. Because a lot of her therapy was, it was, like, at a different place, you know, like a different office or whatever, or wherever it was. It wasn't at home or anything. So that was taken away, too. So either it was just always being at home 24/7, you know, and maybe go on walks and stuff, but like walks weren't always a part of her patterns and stuff. And also, it's not like we also have to accommodate, me and my parents have to accommodate with everything else. So it's like either we had more time or we had less time because we were trying to figure out how to fix our schedules too.
So obviously, like, just her day-to-day really changed. And I, you know, earlier we were speaking and you were talking about, you know, her sleeping patterns and her eating patterns were also affected.
That's right. Yeah. One of the biggest things that came with that, with her anxiety gone up, is that her sleeping patterns were disrupted, like you said, because, you know, when you're sleeping, you're tired, so you go to sleep. But Adiba, she just has just this, she has more energy than us, I would say. And so not being able to release all that energy, she's all jittery, she's anxious, she's confused. When she goes to bed, she can't sleep. So it's either she would go to sleep and then wake up at the middle of the night, and she would cry a lot. You know, she had night terrors, actually. Her night terrors started around this when she turned 9. And I don't know if that's because she was at home more or if it was just her hormones coming. And one of the unfortunate things is that out of all the ages that COVID could have came, it hit us when Adiba was going through puberty. And, you know, puberty plus autism, it's crazier. Like, it's definitely harder to handle as a parent or as a sister.
Definitely must be something to navigate.
And then also with her eating, you know, and this is like everyone else too, is that when you're at home more, you're more hungry. And one of the things with Adiba is that she was not able to, she didn't eat foods or solids until she was like 8. So she was already new. So once she was able and comfortable to bite food, she was learning how to eat food. A lot of her favorite foods are sweets. So when she was home more, she was eating a lot more sweets and stuff, you know, and it was unhealthy because she was gaining weight. It was all this sugar, again, sugar, more energy, and not able to burn that off as well.
So still, yeah. You know, and do you think that, I mean, somebody who maybe does not have that firsthand experience, you know, being around somebody who does have autism, you know, they might say like, oh, well, you know, I guess she was eating more, like, great. Why doesn't she just, you know, do more exercise? Do you think that, you know, there, that physical aspect of encouraging somebody with autism to, like, understand why they need to get up and why they need to be doing something and staying active, do you think that that kind of has an impact at all with Adiba?
Yeah, because, like, you can't really force someone with autism to do things that you want. It's always what they want. So I can't just tell her, okay, Adiba, let's go for a walk, when she, like, is probably not comfortable or her brain's not working. Like, you can't really tell an autistic kid what to do. It's always what they want to do. You can encourage them. You can show them patterns, and you can help try implement it in their life. But this sudden encouragement of, yes, let's go exercise, let's go on walks, you know, and she's only like 9 at the time. Like, 9-year-olds don't really exercise. The only thing they really do is play outside. And, you know, for a while, it was very confusing if even going outside was allowed, like actually stepping outside of your house. And even if, you know, you go outside, Adiba, you know, with, she has a couple health problems. So, you know, not being active is not the easiest thing for her in general.
I see. Yeah, for sure. You know, and you were highlighting earlier how, you know, obviously each person's experience with autism and maybe how, you know, COVID affected them is different because of the spectrum that autism lies on. But thank you for really sharing Adiba's story and highlighting her struggles. So a lot of kind of what we've been talking about is, you know, first, you know, when the pandemic first hit us about a year ago, and really there was no plan or anything in place as to how we were going to move forward. But now, as we've kind of been through the motions of the ocean, really, how have you adapted, your family, Adiba, you know, how have things gotten better or improved?
So definitely, I would say it improved a lot. I think one of the harder times last year was from March to September, where they were trying to plan things out and summer vacation was happening, but you couldn't go out. So when September hit, they did allow kids to go back at school, which was a blessing, you know, because especially for us, because with Adiba, she has to go to school. Like, she needs to go to school. My mom especially needs a break. I'm starting university, and I'm at home too. So it's just really nice to not have people home all the time. And with Adiba, it was great that she could go back to school. She could burn off the energy again. Her sleeping patterns did improve a little bit as well. And she wasn't always anxious or jittery as before. Although in the beginning of September, she was very anxious and jittery. It took a lot of time for her to get back into that school routine because it had been taken away from her for like so many months. Mm-hmm. And then her therapy as well. I believe just at the end of the summer, she was able to get her therapy back. And they accommodated to at-home therapy. So she had speech therapy and occupation therapy both at home, which is really good for her because, you know, it started to exercise her brain once again. Because, you know, she was not doing anything when she wasn't going to therapy, so her brain wasn't functioning, it wasn't working, it was in her own world. And then with therapy, bringing, able to let that come back to us and to have it at her home was really good for her. And that continued for quite a while. I would definitely say that in December, you know, they implemented a stronger rule that, like, now you can't really have anyone come into your house. That included her at-home therapy, so then that changed. And then one of her therapies was at the office that it was at, and then the other one was altogether taken away from her, and they had to wait until, you know, I think they take off that ban of, like, having people at your house. But in general, like, now, in January 2021, definitely lots of improvements, I would say, because she's still going to therapy. She's enjoying school. I think she's back to that routine of going to school and enjoying it because she always loved school. And I think back in September, she wasn't enjoying it because she didn't understand why she had to go through that and then why she's going back to school suddenly.
Yeah. So, you know, now do you think that Adiba has kind of, you know, her anxiety has improved and her sleeping schedule, eating, do you think that she's kind of, you know, come back to it?
Yeah, because when she's busy, and she loves eating food, and she loves having sugar, because it's new to her still. Like, she's, mm-hmm. it's only been, like, almost 3 years, or three to two years that she's been eating food properly and trying them out. So I think now that she's busy, she's not always thinking of food. You know, if she was at home and not going to school, she'd want to have a snack like every half an hour, every hour, and she'd want all the sugary snacks. But now that she's at school, she has more discipline. She has that routine. She knows that she eats at this time, and when she gets home, she gets to eat again. And, you know, it's definitely her food habits have improved because she's not eating excessively. Her sleeping also has improved because, you know, now she gets to burn off that energy as well. Mm-hmm. And her mood in general has been good because she doesn't feel like everything's being built up inside her, and she's able to release that emotion and release that energy, so she's more calm as well.
Mm-hmm. That's really awesome. Yeah, I'm so happy. That's great. So just one last quick question to kind of wrap things up here. You talked about how, you know, somebody with autism, it's not about you telling them what to do. You know, they initiate their own actions, and sometimes it's hard to kind of, you know, help them understand why they need to be doing something. So in the case of COVID, with, you know, enforcing masks and, you know, sanitizing in public areas, do you think that that has been an obstacle or a struggle at all in Adiba's case?
Oh, 100%, because she doesn't wear a mask when she goes to school. And they allow her to go to school without a mask, which is good because they obviously accommodate to her needs, because with autism, her ears are really sensitive, so she actually does not like when anyone touches her ears. So it's almost impossible, or it is impossible for her to wear a mask, really. So she doesn't wear a mask. With sanitizing, she's very good with cleaning. Like, she knows, like, if you tell her to clean her hands, she'll clean her hands. She likes hand sanitizer, I guess, because of the feeling. She does like to feel, like, squishy, like, gooey things. So hand sanitizer, you know, she's fine with that. Washing your hands, she's fine with that. But masks are a big thing. And, like, you know, I have to always tell my parents, like, no, please don't take her here to Superstore or to Costco or wherever, because she can't even wear a mask. So I don't want you to take her there, because I'm sure that maybe some places accommodate for people who can't wear a mask. But, you know, with the rules, it's very strict. You can't wear a mask. So even if they didn't want to accommodate, then she couldn't go into the store because she doesn't have a mask on, because she won't wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. How does it affect you? You know, let's say you're going out with your sister and you're very aware that, you know, she doesn't like the aspect of the mask, and it's, you know, and she's sensitive with her ears. How does it feel for you, you know, walking into a public space and knowing that people are probably questioning, like, oh, well, you know, why isn't your sister, or even if your mom was with your sister, you know, why isn't your daughter, you know, wearing a mask? Like, who do you think you are? Because, you know, our society kind of has this very cancel culture, you know, kind of like this hate, this, like,
I don't think they want to cancel a 10-year-old though.
but you get where I'm coming from, kind of like this aspect of, like, we're so quick to, you know, point fingers and judge.
Yeah, so with judgment, you know, honestly, it's not the biggest deal for me. Again, I encourage myself and my parents not to even take Adiba out in public in the first place. So, like, no malls, no shopping, which is fine with Adiba. You know, she's happy to, like, be at home and then go outside and go to school. Those are her main places, and therapy. But in the case that if for some reason we were able to take her to the store, well, like I said, one, I wouldn't even take Adiba to public places because I know she can't wear a mask. So I just would not want her to go, you know, because what are her odds of getting COVID and stuff? But for some reason, you know, if Adiba were to go outside and she wasn't wearing a mask or she was in public place and, you know, people were staring and stuff, well, first of all, it's not really their business. And but of course, you know, ignorance too. They don't really know, like, why is she not wearing a mask? Like, is she normal or not? Like, they don't know that she's, you know, a normal human being. She has autism. She has sensitive ears. They don't know that. So I can understand if they were thinking that. But, you know, it would be a little surprising if they had something to say about it without asking, basically, mm-hmm. If they weren't asking why, but they were jumping to assumptions. That would be a little ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you know, looking back now at how things used to be and the difficulties and struggles that you and your family were suddenly faced when it came to COVID and dealing with your sister and managing with her, what is one thing that you learned from the process?
Learned. That's a good question, because I feel like it just happened so fast. Like, everything was just put on us as a family so fast, and to accommodate with Adiba and to accommodate with COVID and her autism mixed with that, it's been hard. But One thing that I've learned from it is that how more patient we have to be with Adiba. It really tested our patience, for sure. So, you know, it made me realize, like, you know, I have to be more calm. I have to think about a plan, how to do this, be more patient with Adiba, because I know she's innocent. Like, she can't control what she does. You know, she's innocent out of all of us in our family. So You know, it made us have to work harder and to make us be more open-minded, I would say, as a family, to help Adiba. We were already open-minded to begin with. We were always helping her. But again, a new challenge, new problems, and just more struggles. And therefore, we have to find more solutions. A lot of that was our patience, being even more open-minded. And honestly, that's really all I could think of, like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably take a little bit longer for me to really think and just look back at all those months that went by. Because in a way, it felt like it went by so quick. Like, that February's already here, and that COVID had started almost a year ago, and when they took it seriously.
Yeah, it's like, it's that, you know, quote by C.W. Lewis, or, and it's, you know, day to day, nothing changes, but when we look back, everything has changed, right? It's kind of crazy. Well, thank you so much for sharing and coming on here today and speaking about your sister. I guess, take care and say hello to her for me.
I will. Thank you so much for having me and asking me questions.
Have a good one. Thank you.
You too.